you guys, welcome back to my podcast. And so I'm super excited because I'm doing this series for Christian therapists. This is for those who are emerging and existing Christian therapists who wants to learn how to incorporate the Holy Spirit into your counseling sessions with your clients. Over the years, I have been asked This series is for those who want to learn how to incorporate. This series is for emerging and existing Christian therapists who desire to incorporate the Holy Spirit into your counseling sessions. Listen, over the years, I have been asked so many times, how do you do that? And people have asked me about my own particular journey. And so in this series, I'm going to be answering some of the most frequently asked questions and also share with you some of my knowledge, experience, and also what God has given me to share with you all to help increase your faith and to learn how to really incorporate God into your sessions. Also, don't forget to purchase my new book called Holy Spirit-Led Counseling Sessions, Unleashing Your Impact as a Christian Therapist. Also, you can apply for my mentorship program for emerging and existing Christian therapists who desire to have community, training, resources, and access to our monthly Zoom meeting. Listen, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for listening, and I pray that this series will bless you. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and also to leave me a review on this series. So I'll talk to you in just a moment. So hello, welcome to Facebook, welcome to YouTube, welcome to those of you who are on Instagram, and welcome to those who will come back and watch the replay later. And yeah, it's good to see you too, Tessa. and so I'm going to go ahead and just get into today's teaching. I'm so excited about it, okay? And so again, my name is Shakita Torres. I'm a licensed therapist. I'm a life coach. You guys, I wear many different hats and I'm in ministry. And I thrive in the fact of knowing that I belong to the Lord. That's it. I have no ulterior motives. I just want to do what God is calling me and asking me to do, especially today, especially today. And so as you can see by today's title, it is called What Are New Age Practices? What are New Age Practices? Because I'll tell you the story in just a moment, but before I do that, I want to go into prayer. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you, God, for this word on today. Father, I pray, God, that those who have ears to hear, I pray that, God, they will listen and take heed to your word. Holy Spirit, I ask you, God, to just reside in me, Lord. God, I want to say what you want me to say. Teach what you want me to teach, oh, God. So, Father, I love you and we honor you. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. So I began a Christian therapy series last week. Okay. And so I have been having like little mini clips on YouTube that was being posted live every single night. So this past Sunday, I had got some feedback from one of my posts because the Lord, you know, had me to go back and create short clips of what I'm teaching in this series and also previous series to share with you guys as far as reels. Okay. So you guys can see, you know, on social media, mainly on Facebook and Instagram and also on LinkedIn, I've been posting a lot of short reels about the lives I have been doing over the past, well, I say right 2 months now. And I have gotten a lot of good feedback from it. And so one in particular reel clip talked about new age practices as a Christian therapist. Okay. And so that one got so much feedback. It got so many shares, so many likes, so many comments, a lot more so on Facebook than on Instagram. And so on Instagram, me and you guys who are therapists, that I agree. Thank you for sharing this and bringing light to this, right? It's not talked about enough. It is not. If it is, I have not seen it, okay? Also on Facebook, someone had posted under a post that they were a client seeking for Christian therapy, and they too have been deceived because they wanted to come to receive that, but the person was trying to introduce them to new age practices, okay? Also, a therapist on Facebook commented, I forgot what her name was, and she was like, well, can you give examples of what that is? So I said, hey, I'll be doing a live on this pretty soon. Make sure you go watch it on my YouTube channel if you can. But she was like, I don't understand how people can mix up the Holy Spirit with new age practices. And so with that being said, after reading that, immediately the Lord began to tell me. He said, I need you to go live on this on Thursday. Teach my people, show my people the truth, let them know, you know, what's going on, what to look out for. And so this video today, this live, will serve as correction for some of you guys. For some of you guys, it'll bring about education, hopefully repentance for those of you who are engaging in this as Christian therapists too. So I'm very well aware that this is not going to be well received by many people. And guess what? That's okay. I'm equipped for it. I'm not afraid. It is what it is, right? And it is time for the alarm to be sounded when it comes to this particular area. And so today, as always, I'll be sharing with you what the Lord has given me. I'll share with you my own specific experiences, and then we'll also go into prayer. All right. All right. So as you guys already know the scripture, you know, the word of God says that our people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's the same thing when it comes to, you know, Christian therapy. All right. And while we're on this topic, okay, Christian therapists, you know, when I say that term, I know many people don't really understand always what that means, but a Christian therapist is someone who has went to school, they have got their bachelor's degree, their master's degree, we have to go through, you know, our internship, we have to get an hour, we have to take exams, it's a long, strenuous process, you guys. It is long. We have to get supervision for me, it was 2 years. And so it's a process. So I've been in this field for a very long time. I mean, to me, it's a long time. And so I've been, you know, working on my education since 06. And so here we are, 2023. I have my bachelor's degree. I have my master's degree. And now I'm also a licensed therapist. It was a journey. And so we have the right to actually diagnose people and treat them for mental health issues, okay? And for me, I identify as a Christian therapist. And many people out here, they do, okay? So I want to kind of give you guys some context to that, because I know that sometimes, like, you know, life coaching and therapy and counselors, like, all they can kind of overlap, but there is a distinct difference, okay? It's a distinct difference, okay? So I'm talking really to all you guys who are faith-based providers. This is for all you guys, okay? And for those of you who are actually seeking to receive this kind of treatment as well, it's for you. It's a warning for you to be mindful of who you're receiving treatment from, and to be mindful and ask Holy Spirit, okay, God, should I go see this person and be led by him, okay? So first thing first is, what are new age practices? Okay. Some of them can be crystal healing, meditation when it comes to not the word of God, but just meditating on whatever it is, you know, that you're being taught by someone who is dibbling and dabbling in new age practices, in a nutshell. Yoga, astrology, tarot reading, law of attraction, sound bowls, divination, medium psychics, zodiac signs, shadow work, Reiki, and so much more. You guys, there's so many different new age practices out here. It don't make no sense. And at one point, you know, especially being a therapist, I'm like, Lord, how am I supposed to keep up with all this stuff? As a person who, you know, I love the Lord and I want to make sure that, you know, I'm doing my part as a believer, to be in right standing with God. I'm like, God, how do I keep up with all this stuff? And he said, as you walk with me, he said, I will show you, I will warn you, I will teach you. And he has done just that. Okay. And so let me say this. So you guys, in the Old Testament, there are so many scriptures that warn us of this, okay? And in the Old Testament, if people did these things, engage in New Age practices, they had death, pretty much. Some of them died for engaging in this stuff. If you look at Leviticus, chapter 19, 31, it says this: do not turn to mediums or necromancies, do not seek them out, and so make yourselves and so that makes you unclean by them. He said, I am the Lord your God. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 21 says this: a man or a woman who is a medium or a necromancer shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones, their blood shall be upon them. But my God, thank God for Jesus. We are in the New Testament now. My God, woo, child. I tell my husband all the time, we talk about this all the time. Like, listen, if we were still, you know, living, you know, in those days of the Old Testament, most of us would be dead. We would all probably be dead at this point because, like, none of us can uphold, you know, any of, you know, these type of practices. I mean, uphold like these standards on our own. We need Christ to help us and to guide us, right? And so, because of Christ and what he did for us on the cross, for you guys, we have so much grace and so much mercy. And God gives us so much time to get things right. And I know many of you guys are operating in this light because you just don't know any better. So hopefully today this live teaching will teach you and show you, right, what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. Okay, so I want to go to the New Testament. Okay, this is Colossians chapter 2 verse 8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay, what does that mean? So I read this from the KJV version. Okay, this morning when I woke up, I said, I just feel a need to go to KJV for some of this teaching today. And so once again, I'm on Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay. So the word that stood out to me was rudiment. What does that mean? It is a basic elementary principle or act of worship. And these rudiments are drawn from the world. These practices have nothing to do with God's true religion, which is a relationship with Christ Jesus. Okay. And depending on him for our healing and deliverance, right? And so with that being said, I know, you know, people have to be all the time about medication. Should they take it? Should they not take it? I'll have to do a whole new live, you know, on that on a separate day. If you're seeking for freedom and healing, right? We should be seeking Christ as believers. Okay. We should not be practicing and doing what the world is doing, even as a Christian therapist. Okay. And so I actually went to the message version of this too, as well, from KJV. Then I went to the message version. Okay. So Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says this: watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. My God, but that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him, so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. My God, when you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. Christ trumps all of that stuff, you guys. The things that we are depending on for our healing, for our deliverance, for breakthrough, for whatever we're looking for, y'all, as believers, it is in Christ, okay? Not in New Age practices. Okay. I know for a fact some of you guys said, oh my God, but it actually works. I'll get into that in just a little bit. Hold tight. Hold tight. Hold tight. All right. So now, before I get into part two, let me look at you guys' comments real quick. Let's best practice. Yeah, that's right, Tess. So she said, do you ever notice that you could be going against evidence-based practices? I never had before. I never had, because I'm led by the Holy Spirit. So does New Age practice have anything to do? Yeah, some people, I'm going to that in a moment. So some of this stuff does not have, it's not evidence-based practice. It's not, for sure. Okay. So I know what you mean when you say that, for sure. Okay. So part two, all right? Let me get into my experience here. All right. So back in 2017, I had began my private practice, and where I had my office at, you know, it was a huge building that had like, oh my God, it was full of office spaces. So you can rent out an office space in order to, you know, provide therapy, you know, do whatever you need to do in your own like room. Okay. And so when I was there, I came across this lady who's also had just moved in maybe about 2 or 3 months prior to me. So this space that I was at was known for having like speech therapists, other therapists too, who was like seeing children and adults, doing groups. Like it was known for a place that had that, right? Group practices and so much more. It was pretty awesome. I actually meant to be in there. I really do. And so I remember this lady I had met, she's like, hey, you know, my name is so-and-so. I was like, hey, my name is so-and-so. You know, we both profess to be Christians, right? But I noticed that every time I would mention to her anything about Christ, that she would get like uncomfortable, or she would look at me sideways. And so you guys, I'm very discerning. I pick up on cues and things like really easily, right? Now, am I perfect? No. Do I have blind spots? Absolutely. Okay. But because it was just she and I, we were just by ourselves, right? I definitely noticed some things. Her behaviors were like really weird to me. And I kept saying, God, what is wrong with her? Like typically, whenever you are talking about God or Christ with your fellow brother or sister in Christ, you get excited. I know I do. I'm like, oh my God, God, that's so good. I can't wait. I'm so excited. And so every time I would say Jesus, she would just look at me and I'm like, wow. I'm like, God, what is that? What is that? Okay. So that was like one day at the office. So some time had went on, and I would see her in the hallway. She would always speak. I would always speak to her, but I could tell that she was always uneasy around me, y'all. My God. And so I kept saying, God, please reveal to me, you know, like, what's going on? So, you know, I didn't think too much of it, you know, think too much into it. And so one day it had been raining really, really hard at where I was, you know, my office was at. And we had to park, you know, our vehicles out in the front. So I had walked downstairs to get ready to go to my car, but it was raining heavily. And I noticed that as I was walking towards the door, I saw her at the door. Okay. And she kept looking at me and looking at me, but I could tell she was still uneasy around me, you guys. She was so uneasy around me. And I said, God, what is going on? Why is she so uneasy around me? But I knew that it was a spiritual thing. I knew it was. Okay. I said, yeah, whatever's in her does not want me to like be around her. Okay. So I walk up to her. I'm like, hey, I gave her a hug and everything, you know. And so we're like, you know, waiting outside under like the little roof area, and we had umbrellas, but we were just talking. She's like, yeah, Shakita, how things are going? How's your practice going? I'm like, ooh. I'm like, it's going kind of slow, but you know, I'm just trusting God, you know, for, you know, increase, because I had just opened up my practice, y'all, like opened it up in 2017. And so she was like, yeah, she said, same here. But she said, it's picking up though. I said, good for you. And so then she started talking. She was like, yeah. She was like, I do Reiki with some of my clients. And when she said the word Reiki, it was like a jab to my spirit, y'all. And I had never heard of that word before. And I was like, Reiki? And I was like looking at her. She's like, yeah, you know, some of them have been a little like, you know, reserved about trying it, but now they are starting to try it. And I was like, okay, God, something is not right. But then it had slowed down rain. It's okay. Bye, girl. I see you when I see you, whatever. Right. And so, you guys, I go get in my vehicle. I said, God, let me look this up. Let me look at what Reiki is. So I went on YouTube, and you guys, I came across so many videos that was talking about Reiki. And I was like, God, this looks so demonic to me. So then I came across this video of a lady who was a Christian. It was 45 minutes long, y'all. I sat in my vehicle for 45 minutes and listened to the whole entire message. Okay. And she was sharing about how, you know, she engaged in Reiki. She was saying how, you know, she was a Christian doing this. She was a nurse. She was performing this, you know, doing these things with some of her patients, right, at wherever she worked at. And so she began to share how, you know, I can't remember what she said. It's like how she, you know, began to understand that what she was doing was not of God, but she had crystals. She had all these, like, talking about chakras. She had all this stuff that she was doing. And she was like, as she began to draw near to Christ, okay, she began to experience a whole bunch of warfare. She began to have nightmares. She began to have visitation from demonic forces that look like aliens. She began to be threatened. She began to, like, wake up somebody choking her in her sleep, right? She was dealing with so much warfare. And she said, what I realized was that the whole time I was engaged in this practice, she was like, I had no, you know, knowledge or really understood Jesus Christ. She said, I knew God was God. I knew God existed. She said, but I had completely left out Christ out of the equation, which left her to, you know, left her open to receiving, like, all of this, like, energy, right? And so this energy, y'all, is demonic energy. It is not energy from God. It is not. So if you are practicing this and you're not aware of what you're doing, you need to go to God and ask God, God, can you give me, like, revelation of this? Go back and research it. Y'all, on YouTube, there's so much information out now about witches and about people who have been practicing Reiki for so long, or any other New Age practices, right? And how when they got to know who Christ Jesus was, they begin to come out of it and they experienced so much warfare. And now they're sharing their testimony about what it was, what they experienced, right? I said, that's demonic. It's plain, it's just straight up demons. There's no way around it, okay? And so that was my testimony about, you know, my experience with meeting someone who actually engaged in practicing Reiki. Okay. And so I came home and I told my husband about it and I showed him her picture and he was like, oh my God, I just had a quick vision of her with her face painted white and her head covered up in a sheet and she was dancing and she was chanting. Okay. Now, mind you, I knew who she was. I had her phone number and I said, God, if you release me, I'm going to call her and I'm going to tell her, hey, like, what you're doing is not of God. You know, I wanted to tell her and I was angry because she had so many people coming to her, you know, looking for Christian therapy. And she was introducing them to these New Age practices. Okay. And in that moment, y'all, God told me, he said, no, you don't call her. Because I've already been trying to get her attention. I've already been trying to let her know that what she's doing is not of me, okay? And so he said, I have, like, turned her over to a reprobate mind because she would not listen to me. So I went back. I began to look her up more. I began to research her more. She was, like, involved in law of attraction. She was involved in so many different things, but she's still at church every Sunday, going to church, right? You know, professing to be a believer, but she's mixing stuff, okay? And God is a jealous God, and he does not like that, or he does not want that for us, okay? And so what is Reiki? You guys, my God. So I found an article that said that there are 30 types of Reiki, y'all. At least 30 types of Reiki. And I said, my God. And I found a definition here that says that Reiki is a Japanese form of energy healing, a type of alternative medicine. Reiki practitioners use a technique called palm healing or hands-on healing, through which, according to practitioners, a universal energy is transferred through the palms of the practitioner to the patient to encourage emotional or physical healing. Okay. But here's the catch, you guys. This stuff works. Okay. This stuff, it does work. Okay. Let me explain. So first of all, when God heals you, you are free indeed. That's John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Okay. But whenever you are dibbling and dabbling in these things, you might not know it at first. It probably feel good or whatever the case may be, but you are paying a heavy cost for this. You are allowing entities, you are opening up portals to your spirit, portals to your life, portals to your ear gate, eye gate, all that stuff, right? Where the enemy wants to come in and reside. He wants to come in and have a seat in your life, okay? And so here's the thing people keep forgetting, okay? And this is why, oh my God, it's just a lot, y'all. It's a layer. So y'all keep forgetting that the word of God says this, the gifts are without repentance and the gifts are irrevocable. What does that mean? So whenever Satan got kicked out of heaven, right? First of all, he took a third of the angels with him, first and foremost, okay? And he still had his gifts. God did not take his gifts away from him, all right? So Satan is powerful. He's more powerful than us, but he's not more powerful than God, right? And so with Satan and his camp and his people, whatever whatever his army, his kingdom, right? There are so many different types of gods. So many different types of gods, you guys. Like, it's so much that falls under umbrella. And you have so many people who are practicing and dibbling and dabbling into these things, like, ignorantly and not really understanding that they're opening themselves up to things that are not of God, okay? But with God, you guys, all God requires for us to do is to invite him in. He wants to have a relationship with us. He's not requiring us to turn five lips to do this chant 1,001 times for us to get his attention, right? Because of his Son Jesus Christ, we all have access to God now. We all have access to him. And so what I'm seeing is that a lot of Christian therapists, because they see these different, practices and different things people are using, they are not completely aware of, like, hey, this is not of the Lord. God doesn't want you to do these things. So they take it on like it is the Bible, and it's not. It ain't the word of God, okay? And the Lord said that whenever we choose to, operate in these different practices, it is like a slap in God's face. It's a slap in God's face, y'all. Okay. It's like saying that God's word is not enough and that what his Son did on the cross for us is not enough. And it is. Okay. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active. This is New Testament, y'all. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, y'all. The word of God is powerful, okay? Here we are, okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verses 16 through 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The word of God equips us, therapists. It does. It trumps our prayer. It trumps everything. Now, let me put out, this disclaimer. We are mind, body, and spirit. So, of course, we have neuroscience, right? We have these studies and things that talk about, our body and how we respond, right? And we have the secular part. Yes, we need that because we are mind, body, and spirit. We are living in a body that responds and go through things, right? But it does not mean that you should be engaging and practicing these new age things that the world keep trying to push on us as Christian therapists, okay? My God. James 1 and 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So don't just come and just read and hear even what I'm saying, but go back and read it for yourself. Go back and allow Holy Spirit to minister to you about how you should be operating and moving as a Christian therapist. If you are a person that's seeking for a Christian therapist, please, I beg you to pray, ask God to lead you. And if you come across somebody that you feel in your spirit and heart, it's like going against the word of God and God's principles, right? Run, okay? Run. Run, okay? So I have a scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so folly means this, it is to hold the pursuit of truth in contempt by still choosing to make your own path, right? And so, y'all, I'm telling y'all, I've even seen therapists who, because they operate in these practices and they see that it is working, that it puffs them up with pride. It puffs them up to make them think, oh, I did that, or I'm this and I'm that, right? And so pride begins to creep in. And so when pride begins to creep in, you are deceived. You can't see clearly, okay? But whenever you are in the things of God and you're seeking Him out and you're reading His word, right? God will reveal things to you, right? As I said earlier, I said, God, how do I keep up with all this stuff? It's just too much. He said, as you follow me, I will expose stuff to you as you as needed. As needed, okay? And so I know that some therapists are in jobs, and I've been there for sure, who even now, to be honest, who have clients who may be dibbling and dabbling in this stuff, right? And so, of course, our clients that we serve, they have a right to choose to do what they want to do, okay? And so I've definitely experienced that before, where I have had clients who were dibbling and dabbling in it, and I couldn't stand that. Couldn't say nothing, because guess what? Number one, it wasn't my company, but also number two, I have to be led by the Holy Spirit, and God trumps everything for me. Okay, there is nothing too big, nothing too hard that God cannot shield me from, y'all. And so when I know I'm in, encountering or around people who are doing this, I put on my armor. Okay, I begin to pray and speak in my heavenly language in my head as this person is in my office. So I said before, I'm very sensitive to to atmosphere, whether it's holy or whether it is demonic. And so when people are coming into my office in the past and they carry this presence that's not from God, right? I have to pray. I have to pray. And then when I leave for that day, I gotta pray and ask God to take it off of me so it's not coming home with me. And so I realized that not every therapist is like in the same area. Some of you guys are in prison, working in prisons. Okay. Put on your armor, anoint yourself. Okay. Clothe yourself in the word of God. Because I understand that we cannot make anybody do anything. But as Christian therapists, our stance should be okay. The number one thing I'm going to when it comes to spirituality is the word of God. It's the word of God, y'all. The word of God. The word of God. All righty. And so someone asked me a question earlier about the different evidence-based practices and modalities. Okay. And so I'll go over that just a little bit. And so here's my rule of thumb right here, right? Every evidence-based practice is different. What is that? This is whenever, someone, in science or research, takes a particular treatment that is new and they begin to do research on it. They begin to test to see like if it is if it works, right? And so if it has like, validity to it, or it does work after many trials and tests and placebos and all that good stuff, right? They say, okay, this is considered to be evidence-based practice. It's more to it than that, but I'm gonna give you kind of like, a little short, teaching about what that is. And so in my experience, the things that I'm trained in are not demonic. I know that for a fact. It's not demonic, okay? There are some things that I see here and there, and some things that I'm trained in, but I don't use it. I don't use it. I don't use it. I don't use it. And if a client comes to me, and I actually never had anyone come to me before asking for a specific type of modality that was demonic, right? I know EMDR is very popular. I'm not trained in that because I mean I can't be trained in everything. I just can't, okay? And someone asked me if I do it, I'm like, no, I don't. Not because I think it's wrong, but because I'm not trained in it. But I always say this, right? Words carry weight. Words carry weight, okay? What do I mean by that? So no matter what modality that you're doing, let's say that it's not, not demonic, right? But it's a modality that you feel like, okay, this is pretty cool. But if that person is so seasoned to your heart, seasoned to your mind, that are, totally against the word of God, then guess what? That can definitely become demonic. I've seen videos here and there on YouTube like where people are saying, yeah, my therapist told me I was a witch. What? My therapist told me that, you know, I was, you know, homosexual. My therapist told me. So those are examples, you guys, of people using their words in the therapy room to shape your mind. What are you taking in? What are they teaching you? Okay, another thing. I have clients tell me that therapy would tell them, for example, who were Christian. I went to therapy and, you know, my husband, he's addicted to pornography. I don't know what to do about it, but she told me to go watch it with him and just join him. And I'm like, see, stuff like that, you know, like that is so against the word of God, right? And so actually they end up coming to see me, both of them as a couple, because she's like, I can't do it no more here. And so I'm assuming that she probably got tired of dealing with the client because she was so consumed with her husband and what he was doing that her eyes was not on God. It's a long story. But long story short, I didn't condemn him. I didn't make him feel bad for it. I'm like, listen, if you want help, you got to do X, Y, Z, right? I said, I don't treat pornography addiction, but people I know in my, you know, in my area, they do. If you want help for it, here's some fresh for you, right? And same with her. I'm like, hey, you can't control him. He's a grown man, okay? He's a grown man. So it's a whole situation. It's a whole story all by itself. But I say all that to say, you guys, is that to be mindful, please be mindful of who you're allowing to pour into your spirit, not just therapy, but also in your life in general. Okay. I do have a directory that God had me create called the Faith and Mental Wellness Directory. And that is for people who are professing to be believers of Christ Jesus, and they are not dibbling and dabbling in New Age practices. That is what I have at the bottom of the thing when they sign up, saying, hey, you agree not to promote these services. If I find out, you will be taken off from the directory, okay? Because the whole point of having the directory is for people to be able to find people who are going to be led by the Spirit. Now, being led by the Spirit doesn't mean that, oh, I'm prophesying to you or I'm laying hands on you, right? That's why I have my new book coming out. It's called Holy Spirit-Led Counseling. And I'm doing this series that God has instructed me to do to give you context of what that looks like, okay? As a Christian therapist, we are supposed to be treating you, you know, and being mindful of a spiritual part, but also teaching you, you know, skills, tools, strategy, helping you to see your pattern, helping you to renew your mind through different treatment modalities and so much more. And so I'm definitely not dismissing what we need for our body, but I'm seeing this common theme is that people are missing the Holy Spirit. And so we do have therapists out here who know how to do that. They know how to do that, okay? So, anywho, that's all I have for today. So, here are some instructions that God told me. So, for those of you who are operating in this as a therapist or even in your life, right, and you were not aware that these were considered to be New Age practices, the Lord said, just repent. He said, repent, come to him, right? Ask God to forgive you, right? So, you know, God, he's so gracious and so merciful, right? For those of you who are, you know, doing it and you just don't care, I'm just praying for you that you just get revelation from God. Because once again, I can't make anybody do anything. All I can do is bring awareness to God's people, awareness to therapists, awareness to people who are looking for therapy. So you guys, please be mindful. Please be mindful, okay? All right. So I'm going to go into quick prayer. And guess what? We're going to be done, all right? Before I do that, let me look at you guys' comments, see if anyone is saying anything. Yeah, amen. Definitely needed. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I was wondering as a counselor who's a Christian. How do we differentiate between evidence-based practices versus secular practice? Yes. So I'm going to tell you right now, Tessa, the more you spend time with God, the more that you allow Holy Spirit to you know, guide you. When I say that, invite him into it. Okay. None of us are perfect. We just don't know sometimes, right? But I promise you, you continue to do that and you keep your heart before God, he will let you know. I promise you, this morning I woke, well, this was like last night, like late, I woke up to go use the bathroom, and I hadn't even been asking God about certain things, right? And he began to minister to me about different areas that I needed to have wisdom in that I wasn't even aware of. I'm like, oh, God didn't even know that. And so what I'm saying is that me and my husband said it this morning, having a relationship with God is two-way. So the more you spend time with him, like, and I'm not saying you got to spend hours and hours and days. That's not what I'm saying. But when you put him first and you know, take out time to be in his word and continue to be in prayer, you know, talk to God. Just talk to him. I'm talking to you right now, right? And he will make things, you know, aware to you. He will make things known to you, okay? And also, you know, I have my mentorship for Christian therapists. I'm relaunching that. It's supposed to be this fall. And so if you want to apply and wait till we open the doors for that again, you definitely can apply for that. And so in that, we'll be going over what you're asking me even more in more detail, because every client is different. Every situation is different. And so for me, I'm not the kind of person that when I'm teaching people or mentoring people, that I'm giving you guys like like it's one like blueprint blank sheet. No, every single person is different, and it takes wisdom, it takes discernment, and it takes training and education for you to know what to do for every single person. And also in the new book, you can go to the link in my bio if you're on Instagram, and you can pre-order it. Hopefully I have the first draft of that book sometime this week. I'm so excited about it. And in that book, I teach you, I'm telling you how to invite God in, okay, and teaching you about the gifts of the Spirit and all that good stuff, okay. But as far as training, continue to get training. I say go, even if it's a training that you like, oh my God, I'm not sure, pray first of all, pray. But if God is not saying no, go ahead and go, right, and see what they're saying, so that way you can still be aware of what some of these practices are, okay. And there's so much more. It's so much more. If I went into all that today, it will be a whole other hour teaching, okay? And you guys are not going to, like, stay around for that. All righty. So hopefully I answer your question, Tessa. Yeah, so, okay, I see. Very informative series. Thank you. You're so welcome. You're welcome. So it's on my YouTube channel, the series. I still got some other videos to kind of schedule out that God gave me. And I'll be pre-recording some more videos this upcoming week as well. So, yep. I know it's a need. It's such a need. It's a need for sure. Definitely a need. All righty. Do I have any comments over here on Facebook or YouTube? Let me see. Okay. No. All right. So that's all I have for you guys today. I'm going to say a quick prayer and we will be done. All right. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now for your word. I pray, God, that for those who came on to listen, that Father, they have received clarity. They have received instructions, God, on what they should do. Father, I pray, God, for those who have been affected by New Age practices, Lord God, that God, you will make them aware of it, and that God, you will heal them and you expose the enemy's devices. My God, hallelujah, Jesus. Before I end, Holy Spirit reminded me, I wrote it down somewhere here, but I guess I must have missed it. He was like, oftentimes, you know, we think because somebody is sweet and somebody is kind that they are safe. And that is a lie. You guys have to remember this. The enemy is an angel of light. So it can appear as though this person is right, this person is holy, because they're nice, they're sweet, they might have light around them too as well, right? But that does not confirm that they are actually from God. And it's interesting because, like, even as I was studying, the Lord had reminded me that I have my two daughters, and they both, you know, have dreams and visions, especially my little one, and they both have had dreams of the enemy trying to trick them. And so in the dream, I said, Mommy, I just seen like this being that come to me, and it was like full of light. But then whenever, you know, I touched their hand or they came close to me, it turned into a demon. And I said, I had to teach my daughters, like, these are angels of light. Like, they're trying to come and to deceive you. But why would he try to trick me? So it's almost like God allowed it to happen so that way I can teach them and give them the language to understand that just because someone looks good and it's bright and it's sparkly and all that good stuff, it doesn't mean that it is right. And so I definitely know that people who practice this stuff, they seem really genuine. And sometimes they are. They're just deceived. They don't know any better. They don't know any better, right? And so, yeah. So God told me to say that while I was in prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Let me see if you have anything else you want me to say. All right. All right, so that's it. And so, Father, I just thank you again for this word. I pray, God, for those who may be battling or still not clear, Lord God, on what they should do and what they should not be doing as a Christian therapist. Father, I pray, God, that you would just remove deception from their eyes, and that Holy Spirit, you would allow them to see and understand and embrace the fact that Christ is enough. Your word is enough, God, that you are all powerful, you are all knowing, and that your healing does not come with a cost, that we don't have to do these religious practices, Lord God, in order to get your attention, in order, Lord God, to find healing and refuge. Father, help us, God, not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Father, also help us to have balance, God, balance in the spirit and balance in the natural, God. Help us to understand, Lord God, that God, we do go through things, that God, we will experience long suffering in this life, God, that we will experience, God, high times and low times. We will, and many of us, God, will experience anxiety and depression, Lord God, but God, you are faithful enough to help us to get through that. Your word is strong enough to help us to get through that. Father, so God, I pray, Lord God, that your people will seek out the help that they need, God, from people who have a true heart for you and a true heart to truly help them without opening up doors and portals to their lives to cause them more harm long term, my God. And so, Father, I just thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, God, for choosing me for a time such as this, Lord God, to sound the alarm, to teach your people, God, to help them to see, God, even if I get backlash, in which I know I will, in Jesus' name, God, I trust you and I believe you. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Whew. All right. So all I have for now, if you guys have any questions, real quickly, just let me know. Again, the replay will be up on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and I'm pretty sure I'll be clipping this up too, for reals. for reals. Yes. You're so welcome, Tessa. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for watching. And I pray that you guys have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you soon. All right. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Our prayer is that this podcast episode has blessed you. Don't forget to go and subscribe and leave us a raving review. If you would like to sow into this ministry or to this podcast, Pain, Passion, and Purpose, you can do so at anchor.fm/Pain, Passion, and Purpose or Cash App $Shakita Torres. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next time.